You know, some people think that this book, the Bible, is a thing of the past. Actually, we still live within its pages. There is a great deal of prophecy within the books of the scriptures that is not yet fulfilled. And so we live somewhere in the middle there, somewhere between Genesis and Revelation, as the words of Isaiah speak of a time of complete peace and the authority of Jesus ruling over the whole of creation. That is a promise still to come for when he is promised to return. Zebulun and Naphtali, they're funny words to be used there, but they were two of the original 12 tribes of Israel, appointed by lands appointed by Joshua long ago, 1100 years before Jesus was born. And the area took the name of the tribes, and Zebulun and Naphtali. It was the same area that would later become Galilee, that would become Capernaum, that would become the areas, the places where Jesus would engage in his ministry. And it's not just Isaiah who mentions Zebulun and Naphtali, because Matthew in the New Testament, he makes reference to Isaiah's words and talks about Zebulun and Naphtali, which is a really strange thing to do. Why would he do that? It's so long ago and the place has changed. A little bit like me if I stood here and talked about Dorchester being in the kingdom of Wessex. Or if I said something like Paris is in the territory of the Franks. It would just, we've moved on. And in Matthew's day, they'd moved well ahead. It was a long, many centuries, 7 centuries. Since Zebulun and Naphtali had ceased. And so what's he doing? Why is he using that kind of language? He's telling us that God is the God of history, and that this light that is going to come and is going to dawn in all of our lives is not just a light for today and for tomorrow, but a light to the past as well. That the past is going to be mended, it's going to be healed. That actually the destruction of what has gone on before is going to be restored. The passage that we heard talked about warriors' boots being rolled in blood and all of that stuff. And that's because that area around Galilee where Jesus ministered 700 years earlier had been a war zone. It had been a frontline battlefield as the Assyrian Empire swept through and were just ruthless in their destruction. And so Isaiah lived at that time of warfare, and as he wrote the words, a light is coming, he was writing from the depths of the pits of darkness where there was blood and the sword all around him. He was writing at a time of pain, and he was able to say, a light is coming for you and you and you and you and you. And that message is still there for us today. Advent is a time when we prepare to celebrate his birthday, to celebrate the God who comes not just for our todays and our tomorrows, but he comes for our yesterdays as well. Because every single one of us carries stuff. We all of us carry baggage. Put your hand up if you don't carry any baggage. Emotionally, spiritually, physically. I bet none of you will put your hand up. I certainly will not put my hand up. I carry all kinds of stuff. Regrets. Hindsight. I've got an amazing gift. It's called hindsight. Yeah, I got a lot of really good at that. Really good at that. If only I had done it that way or differently. I have regrets. And God comes to heal the nations and to heal you and I, not just for today and tomorrow, but for yesterday as well. And that, friends, is a most wonderful picture as we lead up towards Christmas. A real hope for today. It's called the Advent Hope. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor. And he was executed on the 9th of April 1945 for speaking out against Hitler's policies. It was just 2 weeks before the Americans liberated the camp. It was just 3 weeks before the Soviets liberated Berlin. And it was just 4 weeks before the fall and surrender of Nazi Germany. What loss. What waste. What distress. A brilliant mind, spiritual man, full of God. Great theologian. A godly man, thrown away, destroyed by the inhumanity of humanity. His family, distraught. Death, destruction, disaster. I would wager, I'm not a betting man, I'm a good Methodist, but I would wager that some of you here feel the gnawing effects of life. We might not be about to face death at the hands of the Gestapo, but we might feel that certain parts of our lives are dying or have already died or are in a bad shape, emotionally, spiritually, frayed perhaps at the edges. Perhaps some of us feel tired with life. There are things that we've lost that we want to retrieve. Perhaps a spring in our step that we once had, but it's somehow gone. Life's pressures have worn us down. I sometimes think about the approach to Christmas when I was a kid. I'm 53 years old now, and I try to remember when I was like 8 or 9, trying to remember those days of what it felt like to just be approaching Christmas. Are you with me on this? Do you remember that childhood just magical excitement? Just amazing. If only I could get it back. If only I could get it back. It's like it's been lost somewhere. And we can get like that with all of life, can't we? Well, this time is a time of preparation over the next 4 weeks. Time to prepare ourselves for something incredibly exciting. And there is hope. Because God uses all things to the good. He uses your life to the good. He uses all your mistakes to the good. He uses your sinfulness. He will use everything that you've ever regretted if you give it to Him and let Him turn it around. Even the cross on which Jesus died was turned into the most amazing victory that the cosmos has ever known and ever will know. A new life backdated to the restoration of the lost. Security for those who have suffered injustice, people like Bonhoeffer and thousands like him. And a hope for you and me here this morning as we each of us travel our own roads through this life with our different backgrounds and our different stories. No matter how much we might feel our life is out of control, there is one who is in control if we would but accept him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this from prison. He wrote, "A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent." See, God carries the key to our lives. He carries the key to the restoration of lands that had been swept by the sword centuries and centuries and centuries before Jesus was born. He carries the keys to restoring what has already gone wrong in order that the future would be bright and full of hope. No matter where you've been or what you've done, what you think about yourself, what you think about God, He still holds the keys to the prison cells of our lives. We don't have to believe in him because he believes in us. He still holds the keys, whether we like it or not. And when he came to earth to be born as the man Jesus, he broke into your prison cell and into my prison cell, and he flung the door wide open. Isn't that great? What an amazing thing we have to celebrate at Christmas. And 30 years later, he died for each of us on a Roman cross. So that not only would our prison cell door be opened, but that we would be washed clean and forgiven all that had previously condemned us. Isn't it great? Some people say you can't undo the past. I kind of disagree. I can't undo the past, but God can. We're still left with scars because sin leaves scars. Sin always leaves scars. If I cut myself with a knife, it'll heal over and I'll be made new again, but I'll still have a scar. We carry scars. That is the price of sin. But it doesn't alter the fact that we can be made new. In 4 weeks' time, we celebrate the most valuable gift to the most valuable people from the most valuable giver. The greatest gift imaginable. And that means that we need to prepare. A celebration for that moment when heaven invaded earth, where the timeline of history met a hinge point and changed directions forever. As God broke into his own creation, like an artist stepping into his own picture. All the armies that ever met, goes the great quote. All the kings that have ever reigned have not had an influence on the world like that one solitary life, the life of Jesus Christ. It's a really very, very exciting time. One of my great heroes is Charles H. Spurgeon, great Victorian Baptist preacher. And he's always been one of my great mentors, really. And he once wrote that the greatest and the most momentous fact which the history of the world records is the fact of Christ's birth. It is the greatest thing. And the most wonderful thing, as I bring this to a close, is that the most emotionally or spiritually destitute among us, those among us who feel utterly detached from God because of guilt or because of wrongdoing or just because of a sense of unworthiness, we are the ones who should rejoice most at the coming of Jesus, because it's the sick who need the doctor. Jesus is not born at Christmas time so that the righteous can feel better about themselves and polish their badges. Jesus is born at Christmas time so that the lowliest of the low, the filthiest of the filthy, can know that he's been born for them. So that you, if you feel like that, can know that he's been born for you. And it will change your life. I finish with this quote. And it's by C.S. Lewis, another great hero. C.S. Lewis is the author of the Narnia Chronicles. You may have come across him in that context. He was also a very, very, very great and highly esteemed theologian and an Oxford don. One of the things that he wrote was this. One must keep, and before I read this, let me tell you that he was an avowed atheist in his early teaching days at Oxford University. And he battled in conversation endlessly with Tolkien, his friend, the author of Lord of the Rings. Great mates they were. Until they fell out, but that's another story. But they were good friends. And Tolkien had a great influence on Lewis. And in the end, Lewis gave in and he gave his life to Jesus. And this is what Lewis once said. One must keep on pointing out that Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of absolutely no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. And so it is with this Advent season, this run-up to this great celebration of the birth of Jesus. It's either true or it's false. What it is not is moderately true. So we, all of us, need to make a decision where we stand. Long ago, I threw all my eggs into one basket, and that was the basket of belief and faith and hope. And my life has never been the same since. Let us all make our journeys over the next 4 weeks to the manger side in Bethlehem as Jesus comes among us. Amen. We're going to sing number 272, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. When we've done this, we're going to say some final prayers. We're going to take up an offering, which is by no means compulsory. Any visitors, please don't feel obliged, but it's part of our worship. And then we'll close the service with a closing hymn. So we stand to sing, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe.